so we ain't meditating like we need to be. So hopefully you'll remember this week. Today, living in the midst of the world we're living in, happiness is hard to come by. But you know, I have a belief that the people of God should be the happiest people on earth. But you know, for some reason, even when we do the things that God tells us to do, as we talked about last week, for some reason, some of us still didn't have a happy week. And you know, that got me thinking that sometimes one of the reasons we might not be happy is because we've just forgotten all that God has done for us. Over and over in the Old Testament, especially the book of Deuteronomy, the word remember is used. God says, I want you to remember what I've done for you. I want you to remember how I brought you out of the Red Sea, how I provided for your every need, how you walked for 40 years and your shoes didn't get wore out, your clothes didn't get wore out. I want you to remember these things, and as you remember, you ought to praise God. And you know, today, maybe one of the reasons why we walk around sad is because we've forgotten what God has done for us. But today, I want us to remember everything that God has done for us. And the greatest thing that God has done for you and me as His children is He has forgiven us of all of our sins. And I don't know if you remember the day you got forgiven, but I do, and it makes me happy. So today, if you don't mind, I'm going to be happy, and hopefully you'll get happy. Let's preach on this today. Forgiven, how can it be? Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. And I'm going to read one more verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. The Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's the part you need to underline there. Let's read it again. That every mouth may be stopped, and some of the world... No. It says all the world, including you and me, may become guilty before God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your written Word. God, thank You that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is able to purify us. It is able to bring us into a relationship with You, God. It is able to show us Your mind, Your will, and Your heart. So God, today I just pray that as we don't preach what I say, but preach what You say, God, I pray that You would bless it. And God, I pray that You would bring us into a remembrance of the mercy You've shown to us. Bring us into a remembrance of what happened 2,000 years ago on a mount called Calvary. Father, I pray that as we get deeper into Your Word, I pray that we would rise higher in our worship of You. So, Father, we praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There was a man who walks into the court of law. And on that day, he is going to stand before the best, most experienced judge in all the land. The man is being tried for breaking and entering. The man is being tried for theft. And the man is being tried for possession of drugs. Well, the evidence is being presented against this man in such a way that it is absolutely impossible for him to deny it. For the other party against this man has HD video evidence of him breaking into their home. They have video evidence of this man's face as he steals their possessions. And they present it very clearly to this judge and say, this is the man. Finally, the end of the day comes and it is time for the verdict to be laid down. And it is very obvious that if this judge is any good at all, if this judge is lacking of justice, it is very obvious that the only possible verdict he can lay down is guilty. It's the only one possible. And I tell you that because the Bible calls God the judge of all the earth. And God has a law as well. And what Romans chapter number 3 basically is it is an expository sermon listing all the crimes that we as mankind have committed against God. And verses 10 through 18 of Romans 3 are the evidence that is presented against us. And the evidence shows that you in fact are, as myself, are sinners. That we, in fact, the evidence is presented clearly that we have broken and we have sinned against God. And it can go on even further than this. For myself, there could be a list a mile long of everything that I'm accused of sinning against God, of breaking His law. And today, as we realize that, I want you to picture yourself standing before the God of all the earth. Picture the day that you stand before the Creator. If He is just, if He is right, if He is perfect, and we know He is, don't we? The only possible verdict that can be given to you and I as people who are sinners is guilty. And that is exactly what verse 19 says after the evidence has been presented against us. The evidence is presented in verse 19 says, "This is written, this is given, so that our mouths may be stopped and so that we might realize we are guilty before God." The Bible says all of us are guilty before God. And as we stand in God's courtroom, that means that we are wearing a robe that has been stained with sin. We are wearing a robe that not one part of it has not been stained. Every single part of us is covered with sin. And I want you to picture myself trying to hide this. Can I possibly cover up this before you guys? Almost be impossible to cover all this. Can you imagine someone standing before God and saying, "That wasn't me"? Not me. There's nothing we can do to get our sin away from the all-seeing eye of God. And here we are, you and I, standing before God, filled with sin, filled with stains, filled with spot. That's us. That's what Romans chapter number 3 says. Now, that's the bad news. But because I'm a preacher of the gospel, which means good news, I want to come and bring you good news today. Because this is exactly where the gospel comes in. Because I'm here to tell you that our God is not only right, just, and perfect, but our God is also gracious. Our God is also full of mercy, and our God is also having great love to us. I don't know if y'all heard me, I'm going to say it again. Our God is also gracious, full of mercy, and having great love to us. And I want you to think about this. God, underneath His stand, underneath His bench, if you will, is a large stamp. And on the bottom of that stamp, written in red letters, is the word forgiven. And for those people who have cried out to Jesus Christ for mercy and for grace, God takes out His stamp labeled forgiven, and He places it on our long list of sins, and in that moment, all of our sins are washed away. Forgiven by the grace of God. And can I tell you, church, that is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. of whom I am chief. That is the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to forgive us of our sin. Now, I don't know if y'all walked into church this morning mad, upset, sad, or dreary because it's raining, but that ought to be something that you get happy about. I said, that ought to be something that you get happy about, that our God has taken all of our sin and forgiven them. That though our sins were many, His grace was more. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. What an awesome God we have. And what an amazing gospel that is ours. And you see, most people listening today, particularly in here, you've heard that your whole life. That our God is a God of forgiveness. But what you may not realize this morning is the theology of how God can forgive us. Of how God can forgive us, we may not understand that. And here's what I mean by that. That opening illustration that I used, that judge that was trying the man guilty of breaking, entering, theft, and drugs. If that judge were to look at that man clearly guilty and say, you know what, don't worry about it, just go free, would you say he's a good judge? Anybody? You would say he's not that good. He's not really for justice. So the question then that I raise is this. How in the world can we stand before God clearly guilty of sin, stained, and spots all over us, and yet there comes a day when God looks and says, forgiven? How can a good, righteous, perfect judge look at guilty sinners and say forgiven? And that's what I want to talk about today just for the next few minutes. Number one, I want you to say the way you and I can be forgiven, how can it be? Number one, God's love. Number one, God's love. Listen, the gospel is not about God stepping down to save us because He had to. It's not about God being upset that, man, He had to step down and do something because we messed up. The gospel is about God stepping down because He wanted to. The gospel is about God stepping down because in His heart is a burning desire for sinners. In God's heart is a burning desire for people who make mistakes. God's heart burns for sinners like you and me. And that's what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ so amazing, is the fact that God didn't have to choose us. God did not have to save us. Yet He did. You say, well, why? Only one reason is possible. Love. The only reason the gospel is even a real thing is because God's love to you and me. And can I tell you, when you read the Bible and study where it says about God's love, it is something that a person can't even stand up and explain. It is a thing that passes our understanding, as Paul says. To know the love of Christ is something that really doesn't make sense to the earthly mind. Because I want you to imagine this. Can you imagine an earthly judge, a judge who is getting and having the duty of trying people who beat his only son? He's getting the opportunity to try the people who robbed his son of everything he had. And he is getting the opportunity to try the people who killed his son. Can you imagine that? And yet that judge, looking at the people whom killed his son, whom beat his son, whom did awful things to his son, forgiving them. Loving them and even blessing them far more than they deserve. That is something that you rarely would see on earth, if you would ever see it on earth. That's a love that passes this earth. It's a love that comes from heaven. Because that is exactly what God's love is all about. He looks at the very people who are responsible for His Son hanging on the cross because of the sin that we've committed against Him, and yet He loves us, forgives us, and He blesses us beyond what we deserve. That is just a portion of God's love. He loves us with an unconditional, everlasting love. And that is always the start of the gospel. It started with love. Before the world was ever created, God looked down through the ages. He saw you and He saw me, sinners as we were, and He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are loved, we are accepted in the beloved, the gospel, forgiveness and salvation. All of those things that we have received all started because of God's love. He loves you and me. And that is the first reason. How can it be that we're forgiven? Because we've got a God, though full of justice, is also full of love. Number two, how can we be forgiven? Not only God's love, but Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The forgiveness of sins. Now I want you to imagine this paper right here. Is a paper that contains my student loans. I don't know if any of y'all have student loans. If you do, I'll pray for you. Pray for me. Outstanding balance of $10,000. Here's a thing of our student loans. Mine. Now, let's say I go to the mailbox tomorrow morning. And I open my mail, and in that envelope is the same sheet of paper, yet across it diagonally, written in red letters, are the words stamped on it, "Forgiven." The first thing I'm going to do is take a lap down my street. Say, "Praise God." But the point of that is this. What that word "forgiven" more than likely means on that sheet of paper, it doesn't mean that the money that I owed just vanished into thin air. It never does that. What that word more than likely means on that piece of paper is that somebody else paid it for me so I didn't have to. It's more than likely what that word "forgiven" means. That somebody else paid it for me, so now I don't have to. When God says you and I, as His children, are forgiven of our sins, that does not mean God looks at us and says, "You know what, just don't worry about them." It doesn't mean God looks at us and says, "You know what, I'll just bypass it, we'll get over it." But what made God just, right, and able to forgive us our sins is the fact that somebody paid them for us. And that somebody, you know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God cannot just cancel the sin debt that we owed. He can't. If He is a God that is just, He can't just say, "Don't worry about it." But what made God able to forgive the debt that we owed is, though we didn't pay it, somebody else did. And by the way, it was Him. He stepped down from His own bench to pay the price that we owed Him. And He paid it for us. You see, how did Jesus pay for our sins? It was through His own precious blood on the cross. Let me say it again. Think about it. Yeah, you've heard it since you were 3 years old. How did God pay our sin debt in full? Through Jesus' precious blood on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You see, from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, God placed a price on sin. And the price for sin was death. Shedding of blood is symbolic of death. And therefore, from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane, day by day, night after night, there were innocent, spotless lambs, animals that were taken. They were laid down and they were slaughtered. And then their blood was given as an offering to God to make Him able to forgive those people of their sins. Because you cannot be forgiven without blood. And what the blood of those animal sacrifices were, they were symbolic. They were symbolic, and they were washing away the stain of sin in symbol form. So what does that mean? Because about 2,000 years ago, in a land called Judea, a man named Jesus Christ came walking by the Jordan River. And John the Baptist had been there for a while. And John was standing there with all of his disciples near the Jordan River. And as he sees this man walk by in a white robe, I believe the Holy Spirit whispered in his ear and said, "That's him. That's him." And John began to look and say, Guys, listen. Y'all need to direct your attention this way. Look this way at that man walking across the Jordan River, and he looked at Jesus Christ and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." John called Him the Lamb of God. You see, Jesus is not just the Son of God who worked miracles. He's not just the Son of God who deserves our praise, but Jesus is God's chosen Lamb to take away our sins, to shed His blood so that our sins might be forgiven. Forgiven. How can it be? Number one, God's love. Number two, Jesus' blood. Number three, Brother Johnny, and I think my favorite, a gift of grace. How can we be forgiven? A gift of grace. Now, let's go back and imagine ourselves standing in the courtroom. Here I am standing before God's throne, before God's court, and I'm a sinner. Yet you know what we just learned? Though I've got all of these stains on me, God loves me. What we just learned is, though I've got all of this sin that is covering me, Jesus came and bled and died for me. But you know what? Here I am. I'm still here. Yes, God loves me. Yes, Jesus paid the price for me, but yet there ain't nothing changed on me. I'm still unfazed. I'm still unchanged. And I'm still standing here as a sinner before God. So what makes God able to still look at us and forgive us of all of our sin? Well, I've already said, Brother Johnny, it's called a gift of grace. And I have an illustration to show this gift for you. Let me go get somebody for you. Come here, Jesus. His name is Jeff, but today he's going to be Jesus. Come over here. You see, here I am. I represent mankind. I represent you, and I represent me. We are absolutely covered in sin. We are stained with sin, and there's no part of me that sin has not corrupted. But 2,000 years ago, there came a man named Jesus. And Pilate even looked at him one day and said, I can't find anything wrong with him. The Bible says that this man named Jesus has no spot. He has no wrinkle. He has no sin. And he has no stain on him. Now I want you to imagine if Justin and Jesus were to walk into God's courtroom. It is obvious today who's guilty. Am I right? Who's guilty? Justin. Who's innocent? So then how in the world did you and I get to walk out of that courtroom going to heaven? How in the world did you and I get to walk out of that room free and washed from our sin? Here's how. On the cross, something happened. On the cross, 2,000 years ago, something happened. God took your sin and my sin. And He placed it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sin you've ever committed was right here on Jesus' shoulders that day 2,000 years ago. The Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for us. What made the cross so brutal was not the nails, nor the crown of thorns on His head. What made the cross so brutal was the sin on His back. God took your sin and my sin and placed it on Jesus. But you see, so many people miss the second part of what happened on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. On the cross, not only did Jesus take my sin, but on the cross, God placed His righteousness on me and on you. Now, let us go back to the courtroom, if we will. Now, standing before God, I want you to look. It is now Jesus who is covered with sin. It is now Jesus who is stained with sin. It is now Jesus who is guilty. It is now Jesus who is condemned. And because of that, here I am, and here you are, standing before God, not condemned. Standing before God, not guilty. Standing before God with no sin, with no stain, with no spot, because Jesus took your sin, He took my sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can I tell you, Brother Johnny, when God looks at me, He don't see me, He sees Jesus. When God looks at you, He does not see the stain that used to carry you around in your world. He sees the perfect life that His Son lived. You say, how can a loving, just, merciful God accept a guilty sinner like me? Here's how. He took Jesus and put Him on you. The righteousness of God in Him. And Miss Nan, you want to know why I like coming to a church that sings about the blood? Because for all of eternity, that's what we're going to be doing anyway. In heaven one day, the Apostle John was looking around and he saw people robed in perfect white robes. And the angel looked at John and said, "Who are they?" John said, "I'm not sure. Why don't you tell me?" And he said, "These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How can you wash something in red blood and it come out white? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you how. the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. That no matter how many sins you've had, no matter how deep in sin you are, God can take His Son's red blood and throw it away and make you white as snow. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And what would do us all good this morning is to realize that we are perfect in Christ Jesus. Because right now, standing before Almighty God, He does not see any part of me because He has placed His Son fully on me. I am in Him and He is in me. Why? Because one day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took your sin and my sin. And when He did, God gave us a gift of grace. And I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to get to heaven. Because the Bible says He's called the Lamb there too. And forever and ever and ever and ever, we're going to sing a song unto Him, and it goes like this. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For You have redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. We're going to sing that to the Lamb of God. You can go be seated. And we're going to worship Him forever and ever. I don't know about you, but this makes me happy. But it also makes me want to worship Him. Because I would not have had this had it not been for the cross. And I don't know if you're like me. There are some days I get so down, discouraged in this world that I forget everything God has done for me. But ain't it nice to just be reminded that, yeah, He's given us a roof. Yeah, He's given us shoes and clothes. But He's given us the forgiveness of sins. And that is the greatest gift that's ever been given. Now, can you imagine? If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior personally, when you die, you stand before God like this. With no way to cover it up. That is a place you do not want to stand. When all you have to do is call on His name and He'll wash them all away and make you whiter than snow. If you've never received God's forgiveness today, let today be the day. Whether you're listening at home in the parking lot in the church this morning, because the greatest joy you'll ever find is when you find out that it's not you, it's Him. You don't have to be perfect. He was. He was. All because of the cross. And I'm so looking forward to doing the Lord's Supper here in just a few minutes. Because it was that blood and that body that made it all possible. Can somebody say praise God? Father, thank You so much for Your Word this morning. God, thank You so much for the gift of grace that's been given to those who are called Your children. And God, thank You for that day for me nearly 15 years ago that You called my name and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And Lord, I just pray today that if You're whispering in the ear of anyone, if You're knocking on the door of anyone's heart today, God, I pray that they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because what a joy it is to know that one day we stand before You and all of our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. So Father, I pray today that if there's anyone who has not received Your forgiveness, let today be the day that they come to You. Father, how grateful we are for Your love, for the blood that was shed and for the gift of grace that was given. And Lord, we do love You, but we thank You that You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.